Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us. We have an exciting program today. We will be teaching on the church, Philadelphia, the persecuted church. So we want you to join us, call a friend, tell somebody to join us now, and we want to have a good time on tonight. Amen. This is the Lord's Day. We are in Passover. Passover started yesterday at 8 p.m., and it will go until next Saturday. So we want you to remember what Passover was about. That was when the children of Egypt crossed into the promises that God has promised them. And I know you may have some promises that God have made before the Lord, but God is saying right now, today, if you would enter into an agreement of prayer and believe God, God can do miraculous things in your life. We have some things before the Lord as well. you know, and we're praying about that, that when this Passover is over, that God will move in a very powerful way. So whatever you have that you want to put before the Lord on tonight, we ask that you can also call in as well. We're going to leave some time for you to call in and, you know, with your prayer request, or maybe you're praying for some loved ones. But we want you to call in. I mean, we don't do this, you know, just for us, but we do it for you. You never know who may need help. You never know who may need prayer. So have someone to call in. Let me give you our call-in number. For the call-in number, our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Call in. Let us know you're listening. Give us some encouragement. Sometimes we need encouragement as well. We want you to be blessed, so we will open up with prayer right now. Father God, we come before your throne on tonight. Lord God, we are so thankful that you have just blessed us up until this appointed time. Lord God, we know that there are brothers and sisters throughout the world that are being persecuted for your name's sake. And Lord God, we just want to bring some encouragement to them today. We ask that you touch us as we deliver this word. Give us what to say, how to say, when to say. Let us just speak, be instant in season and out of season, only speaking the things that you would have us to speak. And we give this, we offer this up in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are coming out of Revelation. And right now, we want to turn to the book of Revelation. Last week, we taught on the dead church, which was Sardis, the dead church. So today, we're talking God is commending the faithful church. Amen? So, like I said, have someone to call us. You call in or have others to call in. If you need prayer, call. Because we are here to serve you. It's not about us, but it's about you. So call in. Let someone know that you're out there. Some of you are hurting. Some of you need deliverance. Some of you need salvation. Call in. Let us know. Amen? We can't do it by ourselves. We need you to be with us and to support us, and we'll support you. So I'm asking that, let me give the number again. We were having some difficulty with this email. Sometimes, you know, you get everything set up, you think everything is set up, and then all of a sudden it goes like, wow, you know. So, amen. But anyway, God is faithful. All right, let's go. Let me give the number one more time, and then we'll go into the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Amen. So tonight, if you would turn with me to the book of Revelation, and then we can go from there. All right. And if you can't hear me, call. Let us know that you can hear us. But I'll give the number again. The call-in number is 646-668-8633. Amen? Amen. So let's read on. Let's read. Say the faithful church, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut up. For if you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Amen. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one, listen, take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Did you notice that there was not a rebuke to the churches, to Philadelphia? Now, we know Sardis and some of the other churches, Jesus, he commended them, but then he said, nevertheless. And like we said before, when you hear that word, nevertheless, that means that God said you need to straighten some things out. But Philadelphia, he did not enter into a rebuke with them. So let's go on, okay? Like I said, we were trying to get the YouTube on, but for some reason it just don't want to act right. But anyway, praise God. Okay. So the faithful church, Philadelphia, the faithful church. God wants us all to be faithful and worship him. But I wanted to bring out what persecution, the word persecution means, and this is the Webster's version. Persecution, and this is in the noun form, hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race or political or religious beliefs. Okay? Persistent annoyance or harassment. His persecution at the hands of others. Persecution. This is what we're talking about. Philadelphia, they were faithful. They were being persecuted, but they were still faithful. Some of you may be getting persecuted as we speak now. But he said, hold fast, remain faithful. See, anytime that God commends you on something, that's admirable. Okay? So I wanted to bring out, this is a CNN report that I want to bring out to you. And, you know, you may say, well, are people being persecuted today? Yes, they are. They are being persecuted today. Listen to CNN, what they reported. They said 2015, which was last year, this is a report from Open Doors USA. They found 7,100 Christians were killed last year for faith-related reasons. That's up 3,000 from 2014. According to the group's analysis of public reports and experts' opinion, CNN reported last year was the most violent for Christians in modern history, rising to a level akin to ethnic cleansing, according to new report by Open Door USA. Open Door USA, this is a watchdog group that advocates for Christians. Did you hear what I said? In 2015, there was a rise in persecutions against Christians. You see what I'm saying? So we can't be naive, America, and say, well, it's not happening here. It is happening. It's happening all around the world. And like I said, there are some type of persecution. You may be getting persecution because you're a Christian for standing up for what's right, Do you see America, little by little, is taking your rights as Christians? Don't be so naive to think that it's not happening. It's coming to American shores very soon. When they start taking, what is it, this Freedom of Religious Act, and they pass laws in the Supreme Court that violate your belief as a Christian, little by little, your rights as Christians are being taken away. And what are the churches doing? Talking about money, talking about things that's not going to help you. When the persecution comes, guess what? If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, or you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll be persecuted. If you are a Christian, the devil hates true believers. So don't get it twisted. I hear so many times these preachers say, well, we're America's favorite preacher. When have the devil liked Christians? Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. So let's read on. CNN reported this. The survey found that more than 7,100 Christians were killed in 2015 for faith-related reasons. That was up from 3,000 from the previous year. Okay? The Open Door also, Open Door USA, and this is an organization that support religious freedom. That works with Christians worldwide to equip and encourage them, those living under persecutions, while helping churches in America advocate for the persecution around the world. The group report defines Christian persecution as a hostility experience as a result of one's identification with Christ. You hear what I said? Open Doors found this persecution ranged from imprisonment, torture, beheadings, and rape to the loss of homes and assets, the loss of jobs, or even rejection from community. No, it haven't gotten that bad yet, but even over here, we have brothers and sisters that have been in prison for speaking the truth. Stop being so naive. They have been in prison. They have had jobs taken from them for standing up for truth. They have been martyred for speaking the truth. This is what they said. Speaking at the National Press Club, David Curry, president and CEO of Open Doors, introduced the annual ranking of countries, listen to this, based on their severity of Christian persecution, evaluating levels of violence worldwide to formulate the global top 50. The list now, in its 25th year, is topped by North Korea. That's the number one country known for persecuting Christians. And they were voted the number one country known for persecuting Christians for the 14th consecutive time. It's hostile over there. We have Christian brothers and sisters trying to flee to South Korea. And some of them die in the process trying to get out of that country. Kerry says that the pariah states like North Korea are especially hostile toward Christians. This is nothing but demonic. See, we war not against flesh and blood, but these are spiritual wickedness in high places. That counselor or that president of North Korea, he's demon-possessed. That's why he hates Christians. The devil hates Christians. How can you walk, be buddy-buddy with the world when the enemy hates you? According to the report, however, much of the persecution faced by Christians occurs in predominantly Muslim nations, many of which are failed states that fail to protect any of their citizens' religious liberty. But you say Islam is peaceful. The presence of Islamic extremist factions across the world in 2015 brought religious persecution for not only Christians, but also Muslims. Yazidis and other religious minorities, the report found, notably Iraq, number 2, and Syria, number 5, are the epicenter of ISIS, so-called caliphate, while Afghanistan, number 4, Pakistan, 6, Iran, 9, and Libya, 10, all have elements of Islamic extremism. Did you hear what I said? So to the Muslims who say we are peace-loving, then you need to form some kind of coalition and get the radicals out of there. Kerry said that while Islamic extremism is one of the driving forces of Christian persecution, peace-loving Muslims can make an impact on that part of their culture. So if the extremism is less than the peace Muslims, why don't the peace Muslims join a coalition and get them up out of there? You say, we're peace-loving. We're not fanatical. Okay, then my question to you, if you are peace-loving, why don't you get the ones, the Muslims that are bringing all this extremism, you can weed them out. ISIS and other extremist groups are spreading. The report highlights, not just in the Middle East, but around the world. Kerry said he hoped the list would bring attention to the plight of Christians across the globe as they face a total lack of religious freedom, forced migration, even genocide. In fact, part of the reason for the annual list, according to Kerry, is to highlight for U.S. policymakers the continued persecution of Christians by our geopolitical allies, countries such as Saudi Arabia, India, are key global partners for the U.S., United States. Yet Open Doors rank both in its top 50 of persecutors of Christians. We believe in religious freedom for all, he said, and that does not happen in countries that we do business with every day. Open Door also seeks to inspire and inform Christians in America using annual watch lists as a clarion call to pray, advocate, and remember their persecuted fellow Christians. And that was on CNN. But I proposed this to some of my brothers and sisters in the Western civilization. I bet you didn't even know that, did you? You're so consumed about, I'm not going to say that, but you got to be more open to what's going on. Open your eyes to what's going on. Your liberties, your freedom is being taken away. Don't be so naive. Don't be in la-la land to think that it all is well. We just go to our little churches and sing our little happy songs, then we go home. I ask God to give you a burden for some of our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you pray, pray for the peace. Pray that they will have freedom. See, we take our freedom for granted over in the United States. We do. Because we got a church on every corner and we have religious broadcasting and program. You wouldn't even know what it's like to be oppressed. So let's not lose sight on what others are going through just to have the freedom to worship God. freedom of religion. That is a valuable thing. Don't take it lightly. Amen. I wanted to read a few scriptures, and then when I read these scriptures, we're talking about persecution, okay? If you would turn with me to Galatians. Well, first, let's go to 2 Corinthians, because I wanted to bring that out about persecution. And, you know, God, he sees what you're going through. And I don't want to be insensitive to my brothers and sisters in Western civilization who may be going through some things. Sometimes you can be persecuted just for being a Christian. You got relatives in your own household who don't even want to be bothered with you. Brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about real siblings, they don't want to have anything to do with you because you're a Christian. So you know what they'll say? They'll say, well, you know, they're too judgmental. But I find that sinners judge Christians more than Christians we don't judge. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 9. Okay. And I'm just going to read this. It says, and you can turn there also as well. For this, well, I'll go up a verse. He said, therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also write that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Okay? Think about that. Are you obedient to God today? They were obedient to God even unto death. Even unto these Christians we're talking about. Even unto death. They are obedient. They're trusting God. They're believing God. Even unto death. But God haven't forgotten about them. I just wanted to let you know that whatever you do is not in vain. And here's another scripture. I'm just bringing some encouraging words to you. Amen? Because I know it's hard sometimes. He said, we are hard pressed. Listen, this is what Paul said. On every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For if we live, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. Amen. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Do you see that? God hasn't forsaken us. God hasn't forgotten his people. And the last scripture is Galatians 1 and 23. And then I will turn this over to Pastor Buddy. Say, but they were hearing only. He who formerly, this is talking about Paul. Remember when he formerly persecuted. He said, they who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorify God in me. This is what they were saying. Saying, he's saved now. Paul got converted. But they still was like, okay, is this the same Paul that was persecuting the saints? God can turn you around. I'm talking to my brothers and sisters who are you've been brainwashed to think that you're supposed to go and kill or persecute the Christians. God can turn your life around right now if you give your heart over to God. God can change that mindset, because we don't worship a God of violence. We worship a God of love. So if your religion is telling you to go out and kill and destroy and martyr and murder, that is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're serving a false God. You're serving a demonic God. And you need to repent. If you have hate in your heart against your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you need to ask Jesus into your heart today. Just like Paul had that conversion. He was going around persecuting the Christians. But God met him on the road to Damascus. And he asked him, why are you persecuting my church? See, a lot of times we could think we're doing what is right in the eyesight of men, but God sees differently. If you're out there and you persecute God's people, you have a demonic influence and you need to repent, because God's going to hold that blood on your hands. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to conclude with that. I just wanted to bring you scriptures. And like I said, we are in the process. We've been praying over some things. I believe God is going to open some doors for us. And you just keep us in prayer. If you, like I said, if you have a question, if you want to call in, feel free to call in. I'll give the number one more time. Our call-in, guest call-in, is 646-668-8633. So with that, I want you to be blessed. Have a beautiful evening, and I'll yield the floor over to Pastor Bobby. Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. We want to thank the Lord for that word coming from Evangelist Montgomery. We're going to go ahead on with the word we're talking about, the Faithful Church of Philadelphia. And as Evangelist Montgomery is speaking, many times someone who is strong in the Lord, faithful, doing everything that he or she is supposed to do, and being obedient to the Lord, to keeping the commandments, living upright, you will face some persecution. Why? Because we are in a position in this world, in a place that is not ours. This is not our home, okay? This is not our kingdom. Our kingdom is of the kingdom of God. Our home, our true home, is with Christ Jesus, heaven. So we are sojourners and pilgrims here, and we are not of this world. We're in it. And since we're in it and not of it, you will obtain opposition from the world, because this particular world is under the domination of the evil one, Lucifer, the devil. He has a space and time right now that he's somewhat doing a lot of the things that he wants to do. Of course, there is limitations. He is limited because of our Father God. So there's only so much that he can do. But he's doing a lot of evil in the world, because the scripture says it's basically his time. God has given, he has an element of time, and he also knows that the time is short, so he's doing as much damage as he can before he's bound up by the Lord and cast into the lake of fire. So he's trying to destroy and do as much damage as he can, and he hates God, but he can't touch God, so he hates God's people, and he can touch them. So that's what he's doing at this particular time. As I said earlier, he is limited in that. But his desire is to persecute God's people, because he doesn't want God's people to shine the light of Christ Jesus on the people that Satan has bound. He doesn't want his, he doesn't want the people that's following Satan to break the bondage that Satan has put on them. So he persecutes God's people because he knows God's people has a true life that's going to destroy his kingdom. And so he's fighting a spiritual battle with all that he has. But in the light of everything I've said, I'm going to go right directly to our topic, which is Philadelphia, the faithful church. Now, as was said earlier, this particular church did not receive any negative speech from the Lord. Everything the Lord said in reference to Philadelphia, as he said in reference to Smyrna, was good. It was something that was encouraging, and it was something that said to them, you're doing the right thing, you have some faith, and continue in that. And I am, how you say, somewhat, he's, in so many words, he said he was proud of them. He said they were doing the right things, and they were holding up and being a true witness for him, despite what they were going through. Now, believers, you have to remember, just because you might go through things, or bad things, or the bad things, or things that are not so positive might happen to you, does not mean that God is not pleased with you. Okay? Many times, it means that he is pleased with you. But these things happen for our good. When you are a child of the Most High God, when things happen negatively in our lives, I'd have to say our lives, it is to strengthen you, and so many times it's to bless you and to give you greater revelation and knowledge of God's word and of him, so that you can realize that God will take you and bring you through anything that happens in your life. But if you never go through anything, then you won't know that God can bring you out of anything. So in order for us to know that God is with us, is that when our metal is tested. One thing about metal and one thing about anything precious and valuable, it doesn't become precious and valuable in its raw state. In other words, if you go and you buy something from the store, say you buy a knife, or say you buy a screwdriver, or say you buy a hammer, say you buy anything that you need to use, it wasn't in the ground like that. They had to get it out the ground. It was raw. It looked like a rock. They had to form it. They had to beat it. They had to heat it. They had to test the strength of it, the tensile strength of that metal. They had to do a lot of things to get that to a usable state. It went through heat. It went through pounding. It went through grinding. It went through a lot of things to become a useful tool. It wasn't in its raw state. So it's the same thing with us. When we come to God, God allows certain things to happen to us that our metal, our gold, will be purified. And where they purify gold and silver, they have to burn the dross out. They have to burn that out of that precious metal or precious stone so that the impurities will be drawn out of it, for it will become valuable and precious. It's already precious, but it can be made more precious when those impurities are removed. Saints of the Most High God, children of the Most High God, God desires to purify us. He desires us to be strong in him. But in order to be strong, it takes some exercise. If you want to build yourself up and get your muscles large and defined and, as they say, cut, then you're going to have to lift some weight, some heavy weight. Now, what is the weight? And then we're going to get in, and we're going to get into Philadelphia, but I want to bring some things out because these people carried some weight. But the weight they carried, they didn't drop it. They didn't drop it, and they didn't succumb to it, but they held it, and they were commended by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say this. The Lord is commending some of you right now. Matter of fact, he's commending all of us that stand and be faithful to him in all situations. When you stand and be strong when it's not comfortable to stand and be strong. You hold on to your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ when people out there are saying things that's not good, or saying negative things, or saying how foolish you are for believing in a God that you can't see. But the thing about it, we see the Lord all the time. You see him when you wake up in the morning. You see him when you look out and you see the trees and you see just nature. You're looking at the things that God has created. These things didn't just pop into being. They didn't just evolve over billions and billions of years. No. God created everything that we see. The air that we breathe, how do you know that that is not the Spirit of God causing us to be alive? How do you know that that's not God? The scripture said that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. So if he breathed into Adam in the beginning, how do you know that he's still not breathing in us today? And how do you know that the very air that we breathe could very well be the Spirit of the living God that's keeping us alive? But some people would try to say that we're foolish because we believe in a living God, because we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of all of our faith? Very interesting. Well, in that, let me get into the book. Let me get into our scriptures, Revelation 3, starting at the 7th verse. And we're talking about the Church of Philadelphia. Now, Evangelist Montgomery already read through the scriptures, so I'm not going to go back through those scriptures because they have already been read. But what I will do, I will go into a little bit of the history of the Church of Philadelphia, and I will also go into a little bit of the explanation of the various scriptures that had already been read. Now, the Church of Philadelphia that was in Philadelphia was about 40 miles southeast of Sardis. Now, Sardis was, Jesus said they were a dead church, but they looked alive. But Jesus said they were dead. Okay. Now, Jesus turned right around and was speaking to Philadelphia, or the angel of Philadelphia, which was the pastor or the bishop or whoever was in a leadership position over that particular body, and was speaking to them. Now, Philadelphia suffered a great earthquake around AD 17. Now, that earthquake affected the whole region, but they suffered long-term effects from that earthquake. So evidently, it destroyed a lot in the city of Philadelphia around the 17 AD. So the people of Philadelphia, they planned everything around that particular earthquake because they were looking for various great earthquakes in the future, because they remember that one and the damage that it did to their land. So you have to remember, they were suffering with attacks from people And then they also had to worry about earthquakes that they had no control over at all. It could hit at any time and destroy. So, in other words, they never knew how long they would be alive at that time, because they had things happening in the spirit realm and things happening in the natural realm at the same time. And that's just about the same thing that's happening now. Everything that we see is happening, the persecution, all this evil that's going on, you have natural manifestations of spiritual things. And so you're seeing the manifestations that is something actually spiritual. Many times there are things that the enemy is doing, and sometimes it's just natural effects such as earthquakes, storms, things of that nature. But you have to be ready in every situation. So you want to be in a particular state in Christ where you're ready in any and every situation. And the only time that you will be ready in any and every situation is to be faithful to God, faithful to Jesus Christ. Because in that, you have this great connection between you and the Lord, you and Christ Jesus. And so whatever happens, it's going to work out for your good according to the scripture. It's going to work out for your good. Why? Because you are a child of the King. That's why. And because God has, he has you in an element of protection. He's going to keep you. Nothing is going to happen to you outside of God's graces. He's going to keep you. Now, getting back to Philadelphia, we see that there's little extra biblical evidence for a Jewish community in the city. It says the letter indicates a situation similar to that of Smyrna. Nothing is known of the origin of the church, but there was a connection with Paul's ministry, you see, in Ephesus. It says, like the other six local churches, the key of David, this is the key of David that opens and shuts, goes back to Isaiah 22:22 and speaks of Christ's authority in the household of God. Now, the scripture says that, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. When God opens a door in your life, no man can shut it. So the door in your life is open in reference to the kingdom of God. No man can shut that. Why? Because you have exercised your faith in Christ, and the devil cannot snatch you out of the Lord's hand when you are seeking to stay in his hand. Now, if you jump out of his hand willfully, then that's you. If you fall away from God willfully, then you did that. The Lord didn't do that. Jesus said, all that come to me shall come to me, and of him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. You see. So as long as you exercise faith in Christ Jesus, our Father God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will exercise, he has promised you. And he promised you an open door, and that door will stay open, and no one or nothing can close it. Nothing will keep you out of the kingdom of God. Nothing will keep you out of being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. God keeps his word. Men will say anything. But when God says something, he brings it to pass. When he opens doors for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, they cannot be closed, because God is the one opened it, and only he can close it, because he has given you keys and you can open various doors in reference to the things that God has given to you. Now, we're gonna go on with this. Now, God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, commended them on their faithful works. Now, what were their faithful works? Their faithful works was in obedience to Christ. Their faithful works in Philadelphia was holding on to God's unchanging hand and a witness for Christ regardless of the circumstances or what they were going through. Now, Jesus said this. He said that even though they were faithful, he said they had a little strength. And that open door was that door that no man could shut that leads to heaven, and which I just said earlier, that leads to heaven and the kingdom of God. But he, now look, a lot, many times, Jesus, I'll say it like this. The strength that we think we have, or the faith that we think we have to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is not something that we can just brag about and say, well, I'm so spiritual, or I've got so much faith, and I'm so strong in all of this. No, the Lord said little. Lord said a little strength. But it doesn't matter, because a little faith and a little strength in him does a lot of good in this realm that we're in. We don't have to be a Samson. We don't have to be a super faithful believer. Only thing we have to do is use and exercise what God has given us. And he will recognize that, and he will answer that, and he will move on our defense. Because to be truthful, as long as we are in this flesh, like the Lord said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is always going to be weak. It is. It's just weak. It's dying daily. The thing that is growing more and more in us is our spirit, man. It's getting stronger and stronger day by day in Christ Jesus. And to be truthful, all that we do and all that we have and all that we are is in Christ Jesus. We can't give ourselves any glory for that. We can't pat ourselves on the back for that. Now, we can boast and glory in Jesus Christ. We can do that. We can give him all the accolades. We can praise him all day long. We can point to him all day and night of how he has strengthened us and how we are operating on his in his faith and how we are moving in his strength, how our spirit is being renewed day by day because of him. And he does that. He just does it because he loves us. So that takes the boastfulness away from us, because we don't have anything. In reference to God and Christ, we are like an empty vessel, and he fills us daily. But we have to empty ourselves out so that the Lord Jesus Christ can fill us with himself by reason of the Holy Spirit, our Holy Ghost. And he does that when we surrender ourselves to them. When we become like Philadelphia, then he will speak highly of us, and he will open the door into the kingdom of heaven that no one can keep us out of. And then he can fill us with a spirit, with his spirit, and that spirit can move and operate in us, and that his strength and his glory and his power will be magnified on earth. And we get all that for just being faithful to him, for just living right, just doing what the Lord commands us to do. Just living a holy life. Just being chaste, just doing what's right in the eyesight of God, just operating in the righteousness of God. And he blesses us like that. Praise God. That's wonderful. And then the Lord says something else in the reference to Philadelphia. He said in Philadelphia, check it out, there was a synagogue of Satan. And what was that synagogue of Satan? It was a church full of folks saying there was something that they were not. And Jesus said they were saying that they were Jews, but they were not. In other words, what he was saying, they were operating in a position, thank you, Holy Ghost, that was not truly given to them, and they were misleading people because they were not obeying God. They were not obeying Christ. They were leading people away from Christ, and they were pointing people to them. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So in other words, they weren't true believers. They weren't true Christians. They weren't living the life that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has prescribed for them to live. They were twisting the gospel for their benefit. They were making merchandise of God's people. And that's all they could do because they were not the people of God. They were not the true people of God. They were standing in the way or standing in the place of the true people of God. And they were leading God's people away with their lifestyle, with their status, and with who they claimed to be, because they were not. And Jesus knew it. The synagogue of Satan. Misleading people because they were saying that they were something of a higher esteem. You follow me? Because I got the word of God. I know the word of God. And they were twisting it and flipping it. And they were causing people to follow them because they were misleading people as if they had some kind of authority straight from God. Yes. And the Lord let them know right off. But he was commending them because they weren't following after those people. You see. It says here, I'll read out a little bit of it. It says, these phrases are in reverse order from implying there is a key point of comparison in the two letters. It's likely that the brief and local tribulation faced by the church at Smyrna contrasts with the promise to the church at Philadelphia that it would be kept from the world. You hear that? The worldwide hour of temptation. That's in 3:10. So he's pointing to a time that was far in the future of their church in Philadelphia, because he said that the hour of temptation refers to the great tribulation, which we haven't gotten into yet. But it says the wording may sound like a reference to all who will inhabit the world at that time, them that dwell upon the earth. Now, there's something about that, because see, the earth dwellers from this point, from this point on, in the notes, is a phrase used repeatedly in Revelation 6:10-13. Now, where it says those on the earth, and it says for those on the earth, that is not the church. That is not the believers. Matter of fact, that is in reference to non-believers. Are people whose name is not written in the book of life. They're going to go through that. Why? Because they refuse God. Because they refuse to believe the word of God. And as a result of rejecting God, they're going to go through what is mentioned in the word of God, the tribulation. That's what he said. Believers is not going to have, according to the word of God, according to what I'm reading right here now, various people have various opinions about this, but according to the word of God, God said that the believer will not have to go through the tribulation. Either they're going to be taken out of this whole world, because it's going to be a worldwide thing, or they're going to be divinely protected from it by God. He's going to do that. But the believer will not go through that tribulation time. That is for the testing of the non-believer. And when it says testing, God knows everything. But he's going to give everyone ample opportunity to repent. Yes. Yes, he is. Because the scripture said that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and that it is not his will that any man should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. So he's going to, even in the time of tribulation, people will still have opportunity to repent. Now, whether they will or not, that's their choice. But it's not God's will. Listen to me, people. Everybody out there, listen to me. It's not God's will that anybody perish. It's not God's will that anybody go through horrible things. It's not God's will that anybody should be possessed, oppressed, depressed, destroyed. That's not God's will. If it was God's will, then, you know, Jesus Christ would not have had to come and sacrifice himself, die on the cross, be buried and resurrected on the third day. The God could have just left us alone and let the enemy just flat out destroy us. He did not have to make a way of salvation if he wanted us to perish. Think about that. But you still have people blaming God for all this evil stuff. Well, a lot of this evil stuff is happening because of men and because of the devil and because of the choices people make. Huh? Stop blaming God for everything. Why don't you blame the one that's really doing it, the devil, and these evil men out there? They're the one that's destroying the whole world. It's not God. If God, look, I'll say it like this. If God wanted to destroy something, don't you know we wouldn't even be existing right now? Because he's that awesome. He's that powerful. But he doesn't operate in that. He operates in love. If he didn't, we wouldn't be here. Huh? Think about that. Just think about that and dismiss all that foolishness. Just dismiss that stuff. It doesn't help anybody. And it confuses your mind. The truth of the matter is that Father God, Yahweh, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is alive, he's real, he gives life, and he delivers, and he sets free. Now, that's what our Father does. And he makes a way for us to eat. He reigns on the unjust as well as the just. So he's fair. He's good. There's nothing, no one like our Father God. That's just it. Regardless of what people say, there's no one like God. There's no one like the Father. There's no one like Yahweh. There's no one like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. There's no one out there that can even compare to him in any way. All right. Now, let me go on a little further here. It says, all right, let me go on a little further and bring a little more light in here. It says, this is speaking of now whose names were not written in the book of life. That's, you can reference that in Revelation 17. It said, to keep from the hour of temptation, that is meaning that either God will remove before the time of tribulation. Who is he removing? He's removing his people, the believers, the faithful ones. That's what he's saying. The ones that remain faithful to God, even all the way up until the hour of tribulation. He's going to remove them. Or he's going to supernaturally protect. He's going to supernaturally protected within the tribulation. So in other words, if you're in the tribulation, he's going to protect you from all that stuff that's happening in that time. So you're not going to experience, it's not going to touch you. Now that's the word of God. So either he's going to remove us from it before it happens, or if you go through it, he's going to protect you from all the stuff that's happening in it. It'll be just, okay, the comparison would be Egypt. Now, Egypt brought all, God brought all those plagues on Egypt, and the children of Israel were in Egypt, but none of that stuff touched them. It didn't touch them, but it wore Egypt out. All those plagues literally destroyed Egypt. But at the same time, those plagues were raining down on Egypt, and the Israelites were still in Egypt, those plagues did not touch them. That's the same thing. That's what he's saying. And God is that awesome. He's that awesome. He's that powerful. He can protect his people while the devil is just going haywire. He's losing his mind, but God can still protect his people. Now, we know that people have suffered and gone through different things. We know that. But God is commending all of us for whatever we go through in his name and for him. But you can also know that God still has us. And we can also know that whatever tribulation that we go through, whatever pain we experience, whatever things we go through, as long as we're faithful to God, that's not going to, none of that is going to keep us out of the kingdom of God. It's not going to keep us out of heaven. It's not going to keep us from where we are supposed to be in God. I don't care what happens. As long as you hold on to God and as long as you are faithful to God, like you said in Revelation, the second death has no power over you. Like Apostle is appointed, the man wants to die, but then there's the judgment. So when you are obedient to God in this life, then you don't have to worry about the next life. Because as you are in him now, so you will be with him forever and in him forever. All right, let me read on. Let me go on and bring out some more things. It says, since the word hour suggests a period of time, and the purpose of the hour of testing is to test the non-elect, it says earth dwellers, it's non-elect, earth dwellers, rather than believers, it seems more likely that believers will be removed before the hour of great tribulation begins. Interesting, isn't it? See, we won't even have to go through that because the enemy, thank you, Holy Ghost, because God is so good that all this that the enemy has done to us and tried to destroy us, when God steps on the scene and when God starts doing some things, then he won't be able to touch us anymore. Because God will have us in his hand of protection. And the things that the enemy would do, he can't. Because God has said at that time, no. God is going to deal with those people who don't believe in him. Those devil worshipers. Those people that say God doesn't exist. Those people who say things like, well, the Bible was just written by men, so it doesn't have to be taken seriously. Those people that say, well, believers, they're crazy to believe in God. Or if there is a God, why is all this stuff happening in the world? Why is there evil if there is a God? Well, there's a devil, too. Do you ever think about that? Devil is pure evil. And if you don't follow God, if you don't believe in God, well, what do you think is going to happen? The enemy is going to rule in your life regardless of you believe in him or not. He would rather you not believe in anything. Because if you don't believe anything, then he can rule in your life. Because you won't call on God, because you don't believe in God. You're wide open. Yeah, you're wide open. You're like a warrior without a weapon. You're like a warrior out there with no shield to the enemy. And he's going to take you out because you will not call on the living God. You're just like a piece of meat out there. Just like a piece of meat to the devil. And he is like, Peter said, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. But the scripture also tells us that if we submit ourselves therefore to God, we can resist that roaring lion, and what he'll do? He's going to flee from you. Why? Because you're resisting him by and through the power of the living God. And God has given you strength, like the Lord told the Philadelphian church. You got a little strength. So that little strength will help you to fight the enemy. And it will cause you not to go through the tribulation in the end times. And we're close to it. You can just look around. Look at the news sometime. Or just look around and see all this stuff that's going on. And then say to me, all this stuff that's happening is just coincidence. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you believe that, you're really naive. You might as well just, somebody can say you're an island out in the middle of the Atlantic and you've never even been out there, but you're going to buy that island out there. You wouldn't do that, though. But if you believe that, you might as well go on out there and buy that island, that uncharted island out there in the middle of the Pacific or the middle of the Atlantic Ocean somewhere, if you believe that. But that's okay. People kind of believe what they want to believe. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth of the matter is that the Lord is on his way back. We're probably in a phase of revelation right now. And we've got to prepare. We've got to get ready. We've got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We need to get in the Word, study the Word, fast, pray, and strengthen our spirits in the Lord so that our physical body will be strengthened to stand up against the onslaughts of the enemy. Because he's not playing. So since he's not playing, we shouldn't be playing. We need to be sincere and for real in what we believe. Unless you want to go through this stuff here. And I'm going to tell you, the stuff that's getting ready to come on the earth, you cannot prepare for. I don't care how many silos they build. I don't care how you build stuff underground. I don't care how much food you store up or how many guns you buy or how many bullets you buy. You can't prepare for what's getting ready to come up on the world. Because what's getting ready to come up on the world is of a supernatural base. It's not something you can shoot. It's not something that you can prepare for. The only way you can prepare for what's getting ready to come on the world is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Get saved. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get in your word. Fast and pray. That's how you get ready for that. Seek the Lord with all of your mind, your soul, and your body, with everything you have. That's how you prepare for that. Okay, now I'm coming out the word. Now listen to this here. He says he's coming quickly, and he's telling us to hold fast to what we have. What do you have? Do you have faith in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? That he was buried and resurrected on the third day for your salvation? You believe that? Well, hold on to that. Have you accepted the Lord as your Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then hold on to that. Do you have faith in his word? Hold on to that. Jesus is commending you for your faith. So stand in it. Trust in it. Because you can trust in God. You can trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because our Father cannot lie. Jesus Christ cannot lie. What he says in his word is true. What he said in his word is true. So you can believe in that and trust in it. So trust in the Lord, and he will bring you through. Amen. So we want to thank the Lord for that. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church. Now, something else that is relevant here. He says, to the one that overcometh, he says, he has promised a permanent place in the temple in God's eternal city, the New Jerusalem. He said, this temple is actually the Lord himself and the Lamb. Christ's new name may refer to a name that no man knows but the Lord Jesus himself. So what the Lord is saying basically is that you're going to be in a position in Christ Jesus where he has designated for you because of your faithfulness. So he's going to keep you in that. But I want you to be encouraged in the things of God and know that God is keeping his word. He's keeping you. He honors what you're doing. He honors your faith. And be commended. And he's commending you in the life that you're living for him. So don't let anyone tell you that what you're doing is in vain. Don't let anybody put you down in reference to the things of God, in reference to your belief, in reference to your faith. Don't let anybody put you down in that regard. Because the end result is not here on earth, but the end result of our life when we're living for Christ is to be where Christ is. Wherever he is, and that's what he told us. He said, if we follow after him, the word of God tells us we will be where he is, and we will be like him. All right? So we can be encouraged in that. So don't let people place you different places. Don't let people tear down your faith in him. Don't listen to people who are speaking against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't listen to people who are speaking against your faith in God in Christ. Because, you see, the Lord himself is commending you and is proud of you and loves you and has your prosperity in his mind spiritually and naturally, physically, mentally, in every way that you can think of. God is making all kinds of ways for you. Now, I want you to be encouraged in that. Now he says something about a temple. One thing I want to bring out in reference to a temple. I was doing a little studying over the week, and what I found out, when it says temple, there's a difference between a temple, a synagogue, a church. Now, what needs to be realized is a temple is a place where a deity resides, or God. That's a temple. Now, when they had the temple in Jerusalem, the Father God actually resided in that temple. That's why just anybody couldn't just go in there. And when they went in there, they had to have on special attire. They had to go in there a certain way, and they had to do certain things because Yahweh resided there. Now, a synagogue is different than a temple, and a church is different than a temple, because a church or a synagogue is a place where people go to worship and praise God. You see, the deity or the God might not necessarily reside in the synagogue or the church, but he can come whenever he wants to. But it's basically for us to worship God and praise God there. We can do that at any time. But he comes there when he wants to. But he doesn't reside there. He's not living in there. You see, where does he live? Where does God live? He lives in you. You are the temple. You see? You are the temple. Like Jesus said, the kingdom of God resides in you. So that's why you have to live a certain way and obey the things of God and live upright and consecrate yourself and study his word, because he's residing in you. He doesn't reside in mortar and brick and wood. He resides in you. And since he does, he's going to keep you. Why? Because he said he would. Why? Because he loves you. Why? That's why. That's it. So, at this point, we're getting ready to close our program. Well, I'd like for y'all to get back with us. We're going to deal with this last church of the of Revelation, the church in Laodicea. Yes, church of Laodicea. We're going to deal with that next week. I'm asking that you all join us again at 7:30, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be discussing the church at Laodicea. That's that last church that Jesus spoke to. And, well, I'll say it like this. We'll share, but and God, the Lord Jesus, he didn't have a whole lot of good stuff to say about that church. But we'll get into that next week. So I'm saying, you all continue in faith to God and know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is pleased with you. Okay? He loves you. Hold on to what you got. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, we don't have any power or might in our own self, but the power and the might that we have comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me, or strengthens us. He strengthens you. So be encouraged that don't be too hard on yourself, okay? Surrender yourself, therefore, to God, you know? And he'll work it out for you. He always have, he always will, because he's God. So you all come in and be with us next week, 7:30, Saturday, Eastern Time, Kingdom of God Ministries. We're going to be talking about this last church of Revelation, the church of Laodicea. Go into that with greater detail. So I'm going to close out right now in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask, Father God, that you continue to bless God's people We ask, Lord, that you strengthen them, that you strengthen them, give them revelation, knowledge of your word, heal them, deliver them, set them free from all bondages, all oppression, all depression, and we come against any spirit that would hinder them in any way. We bind that thing up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask that you touch their hearts and their minds. Give them even more revelation of your word. Strengthen them more in your spirit, Father God. Touch their hearts and their minds, Lord. Reassure them, Father God. Reassure them, Father God. Reassure them, Father God, that they will know and realize you have the best interest at heart. Strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.